White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon says there's no military solution to North Korea's growing nuclear weapons program. That was from an interview published yesterday by the American Prospect. Going against President Trump's threat of fire and fury, Bannon also suggested that Trump should accept the reality of a nuclear-armed North Korea. So we're going to take a step back now and ask, just how did we get here? Specifically, how did North Korea's nuclear program come to be? Well, James Acton is co-director of the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. James, welcome to the show. And first of all, just sort of set the table here for us. Why did North Korea begin its nuclear weapons program in earnest in the 1990s?
Well, actually, North Korea's nuclear weapons program dates back probably to the 1950s or the 1960s. It accelerated in the 1990s. I actually think there may be an argument that North Korea's motivations for wanting nuclear weapons has changed over time. North Korea sees existential threats coming from outside, from the United States, rightly or wrongly. And I think the North Korean regime believes that nuclear weapons are necessary for the long-term survival of that regime.
So, of course, nuclear power and nuclear weaponry, much overlap there, but also slightly different. I mean, where did the country get the expertise to develop viable nuclear weapons?
Well, a lot of North Korean scientists originally were trained in the Soviet Union. But I think there's been too much emphasis recently on assuming that the North Koreans now can't do it themselves. I think North Korea has reached a pretty high degree of indigenous capability, particularly in terms of things like manufacturing rocket engines, in terms of their expertise to develop warheads. But I think the extent to which they're reliant on foreign expertise and technology has decreased markedly over time.
Okay, interesting. So, as you said, originally they relied on other countries for physical materials, equipment, etc., but they can do that in North Korea now, including the fissile material for a nuclear warhead or even a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, they're producing that themselves. I mean, they've long had a plutonium production reactor, and they have the capability, the reprocessing technology to extract plutonium from that reactor. They've shown off a very, very advanced centrifuge plant to a group of visiting Americans. That was about 6 or 7 years ago now. We don't know exactly how many of these centrifuge plants they have, but they have the ability to enrich uranium.
Well, there's actually a point of clarification I should have asked a little earlier. So when you say that the North Korean nuclear program began in the 1950s, was that for power or original, or was the concept of building a nuclear weapon there from the beginning?
It was a dual-use program. A number of technologies, as you've already pointed out, are used for both nuclear power and nuclear weapons. And all of the technology that the North Koreans were starting to get interested in the 1950s, and the program moved very, very slowly back then, was dual-use technology that was entirely applicable towards both ends.
You know, so we can talk about in a minute about what options are for the international community, given all you've just said. But it makes me wonder, okay, so here we have a situation in which, a nation that was largely thought to be challenged because of its regime and its economy in terms of developing nuclear weapons. It's done it successfully, initially with the help of outside countries, but now on its own. What lessons can the international community draw from that regarding perhaps other nations that may want to start a nuclear program?
What I would say is this. Nuclear weapons technology is 1940s technology. It's going to become increasingly accessible to an ever larger group of states. And what that tells me is that the technological solutions to non-proliferation are going to become increasingly effective, and that political solutions, I think, are going to be our key barriers to non-proliferation in the future. There's lots of lessons there with North Korea. I think the international community was very, very slow and lacked seriousness in trying to enforce non-proliferation rules. I think we need to get a lot better at that in the future.
So an exceedingly important point then. So how the international community and North Korea then proceed from this point on is also demonstrative for what you just said. If we can achieve political solutions to contain the further development or spread proliferation of nuclear weapons. So, I mean, obviously tensions between the United States and North Korea are terrible right now. So, I mean, what do you see as possible next steps?
Well, I'm kind of a pessimist when it comes to North Korea. I think denuclearization, as desirable as that would be, is now out the window. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dunford, last night, I think, in Seoul, described a North Korea with nuclear weapons capable of reaching the United States as unimaginable. I find it hard to describe something that's already happened as being unimaginable. Unfortunately, it's all too imaginable. And as I say, I think denuclearization is off the table. I think what we have to do right now is pursue a risk reduction agenda with North Korea. I believe that we should try to offer a deal to the North Koreans. They're not allowed to conduct missile tests that overfly Japan or South Korea, which would preclude them flying a missile anywhere near Guam. In return, we should be prepared to say no training flights of strategic bombers within a certain agreed distance of North Korea. I think that would help to de-escalate the current crisis, which is still very much alive, by the way. And I think that would help prevent the occurrence of future crises. It's these and similar kind of risk reduction measures that I think are our least bad option now with North Korea.
James Acton is co-director of the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.